Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Good to be here. Our lesson this morning is titled Sphere of Influence. It's a pretty simple lesson, pretty simple principle. I guess the application is always the hard part. Every person has an area or sphere in which they are effective. If you focus your energy and your activity inside this sphere, you can have a positive influence on people around you. This is what we would call your sphere of influence. For example, within your sphere of influence, you can have a positive impact on your family or on your neighbors or on your coworkers and so on. However, there are things outside your sphere of influence, beyond it, things that concern you. For example, inflation, the cost of gasoline, the conflict in the Ukraine. These things worry you. They make you feel anxious and nervous. They affect you, but you have little or no control over them. And when you operate within your sphere of influence, you can make a difference in the world. But when you focus your efforts in these areas of concern, you often do more harm than good, and you end up diminishing your ability to be effective within your own sphere of influence. Here's an interesting Bible example. And we can look at the efforts of the children of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem from captivity. And we can look at how they conducted themselves, the things they did, and we can see this principle of sphere of influence working out. They may not have realized they were doing it, but under the leadership of Nehemiah and by the hand of God, they leveraged their abilities and opportunities within their sphere of influence. The temple had been rebuilt. They had reestablished temple worship, but the city remained unfinished. The walls were unfinished. And the Israelites were being assaulted by their enemies on various fronts, militarily, politically. It was a real nightmare. And there was little they could do about this condition amongst their neighbors and their enemies all around them. They were unable to shape the world around them, neither physically nor spiritually. And they were a source of embarrassment in that region. Under Nehemiah's leadership, everybody pitched in, they worked hard, and against all odds, they completed the walls of Jerusalem in record time. I think 52 days they finished the walls. Inside the walls, working within their sphere of influence, the children of Israel gained a renewed sense of God's presence and His power, a new awareness of His purpose and their calling. Inside the walls, the people listened more carefully to what God had to say. We read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 and verse 3, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon as he faced the square before the water gate. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. This went on for days and days and days. In chapter 8, verse 17, we read, from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, think how long that was, from the entrance into the land of Canaan, all through the divided kingdom, until the captivity and the return, from the days of Joshua to the son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this, and their joy was very great. Outside of the wall, in the area of concern, where Israelites had little or no influence before, what happened out there? When the people inside the walls changed and came alive, doing what they were able to do, it changed the enemies on the outside of the wall as well. Might not have expected that. The enemies of the Israelites changed their opinion of who God was. Nehemiah 6:16. When all the enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid. And they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. This is a pretty powerful example of how working within your sphere of influence can begin to have an impact on areas of concern. Areas which you thought were outside your capability of influence. And this is a lesson in how we Christians can shape the world around us. It sounds impossible when you consider all the stuff that's going on in the world today, but God says we can do it. We can help shape the world around us. Not only does he say we can do it, he expects us to do it. God's way works. And as always, God's way is different than man's way. God's way requires trust and perseverance, using your God-given talents according to how he instructs us. When you focus on troubling concerns, operating outside your sphere of influence, your life can become discouraging and extremely stressful. And your sphere of influence shrinks. You can do less than you could do before. But if you operate inside your sphere of influence, your life will be less stressful, and you can make a difference, a big difference in the world. And also, you will find that your ability to influence things and people will increase over time. So if you focus in the wrong place, you become less capable. If you focus in the right place, you become more capable. And you see people, maybe you're one of them, maybe I'm one of them, who stew and fret over the areas of concern in their lives to the extent they fail to accomplish the things that are possible within their own sphere of influence. And thankfully, we also see people who focus on what they can do, and they watch their capability and influence grow to where they can begin to tackle some of the things in the area of concern that they couldn't tackle before. Alfred Nobel, of the Nobel Peace Prize, invented dynamite. You may not have known this, but he invented dynamite. Alfred's brother, Ludwig, passed away. A magazine published an article getting the two brothers confused, saying that Alfred had passed away. And they had written some things about him that weren't too kind, and all the letters came into the magazine talking about what kind of monster Alfred was for having invented such a weapon that could be used for mass destruction. They had nothing nice to say about him. When Alfred read this, he realized the perception people had of him because of this powerful invention, and he decided to make a different impact on the world. He invested all of his time and skills and money in peace, and now we have the Nobel Peace Prize because of how he changed his attitude. This big thing that he made, which was explosive, he focused his time and attention now on working with people to bring out people and methods that would bring peace to the world. He can make a difference. God is using us. He's using you and I, Christians, to reshape the world. And we can't say, I don't know how to do it, or it's too hard. Our God-given work is well within our spheres of influence. So the question I ask you and I ask me this morning, what impact will you have, will I have, on the world? Matthew 5, 14 through 16, a very common verse. You could probably almost quote it. You are the light of the world. You and I. We are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. But they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I heard a preacher one time say, we need to glow in the dark. And I thought that's kind of a cool way to say it. But we need to glow in the dark as Christians. And I heard another preacher once say, and the way he said it was pretty impactful. He was preaching a lesson in a congregation in New York, in Manhattan. And he asked all the people in the audience, why do you live here? Is it the entertainment? It's great. How about the food, the jobs, the culture, everything you can see? The city is alive all the time. And he says, no, that's not why you live here. And he looked in the audience and says, you are here to shine the light into the darkness. I thought, whoa, that's pretty powerful. You are living in this city to shine the light into the darkness. That's why we live where we live today, to shine the light into the darkness. God's gospel light is powerful beyond comprehension. How many of us here today understand the nature of light, can look at the equations of how light propagates and all that sort of thing, physical light, and understand it? It's hard, right? Someone says, let's look at Maxwell's equations. We'd all go to sleep right on the spot. But light is remarkable. We don't have to know how it works. We just trust it. When we flick on that switch, light will do its own stuff. That's all we need to know. We have to have the same trust in the light of Christ. Turn it on, aim it into the darkness by word and deed at people who need it, and watch it do its work. Trust in God to do it. We've got to shine the light. Let God do the rest. Also in Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, you are the salt. We are the salt of the earth. Not only are we the light shining into a world of sin, we are the salt. What does salt do? It preserves. Salt flavors. Christians preserve the good in the world. Christians give the world a righteous flavor. Some of the things we see out in the world today are pretty distasteful, and we can flavor them a different way. We can shine the light. We can flavor the world. We can change the world by working within our sphere of influence, shining our light, salt in the earth. This we can do. This is well within our capability. Back a few years ago, when our kids were young, we went on a vacation to Shawnee Park near Portsmouth, Ohio. And we had our Suburban loaded up, couldn't even see out the windows. The lodge is up a winding road away from the Ohio River, and halfway up the hill, the truck started to falter, the fuel pump gave out, and then we tried to start it again, and the starter fried, and we were stuck. So we rolled backwards into a parking lot trying to figure out what to do next before the days of cell phones, and park ranger rolled up and said, "What's up?" And we told him. He said, "Okay, load your stuff into my truck here, and I'm going to drive you guys up to the lodge." Some of our stuff, it all didn't fit. "I'm going to drive you guys up to the lodge." And he did. And I can still remember how it felt, what it smelled like, what it looked like, walking down this carpeted hallway to the reception desk, discouraged, kind of in a fog, having no clue what we were going to do the next day, having no idea at all. I hear this voice calling out, "Hey, what are you going to do tomorrow?" It was the ranger. I said, "I got no idea." He said, "Well, how about this? I come pick you up, take you to the parts store, and help you fix the truck." And he did just exactly that. I remember it all like it happened 15 minutes ago, but it was 35 years ago, and his name is, maybe he's still alive, but his name was Mike Lemon. I knew where his mailbox was on that road, and I'll never forget him. It made such a huge difference in our family's life, a huge difference. It's just touching to think about what he did. So I try to do, and I fail, I try to do the same when opportunity presents. It's not always convenient, but it sure feels good when you make the effort to pay it forward and change another person's life. One person at a time, building relationships, we can change the world. If we work as hard as we can within our sphere of influence, we can begin to touch the things that we think we have no control over. One of Lorraine Avenue's past members, and many of you probably know who he was, made a vow to visit members in the hospital and nursing homes as often as possible. He said his dad, Boyd Miller, seemed to be forgotten by the congregation where he worshiped when he was older. And Doug vowed that was never going to happen on his watch, vowed that it would never happen. That was well within Doug's sphere of influence. And the impact it had on brothers and sisters in Christ, the impact it had on people who were of the world, who were not Christians, was immense. We can illuminate. We can salt. We can do that. These kinds of deeds tend to diminish the inequities and the unfairness that Brian preached about last week. And I do thank you for that lesson. These kinds of deeds tend to diminish the inequities and the unfairness that we see in the world today. And they do have a positive impact on sin, bit by bit. We can't see what's going on. It's in another realm. But there are two warring realms, Christ in the light and Satan in darkness. Think about this. Satan cannot exist without the darkness. So I guess you might say, we just got to light him up. That's what we can do. He can't exist if we light him up. Basic, simple acts within our sphere of influence can have a positive impact on many areas of concern. Too many Christians live like life is a playground instead of a battleground. They frolic instead of fight. They do as they wish instead of what God wishes. They live without sacrifice, without patience, without a long view of eternity. All we need in order to make a difference in the world is provided in the Word of God. How to behave. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love, sacrifice, take care of people. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 7, summarizing these verses a little bit, we're told to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, our mind wanders, our efforts wander. We'll get around to serving the Lord someday. I don't know where so-and-so was at church. I'll call on them, maybe someone else. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Begin to rule over your thoughts and actions and do what God wants you to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. Think about that. Christians are God's masterpiece, created in Christ. For what? To do good works. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ to do good works. How are Christians to be involved? How can we be involved? How can we influence the witnesses on the January 6th hearings to be truthful? You can't say, tell the truth, and it doesn't work that way. How can we change how the Supreme Court is going to vote on Roe versus Wade? We hope they will favor life over genocide of children. But we can't will that to happen. How can we halt aggression in Ukraine? How can we stop the genocide that takes place around the world? How can we snap our fingers and end racial bias? Or how can we stop the killing of children in classrooms with just a good day's work? We can't, right? But God says we can make a difference in all these things through the relationships we have one with another. At school, at work, among neighbors, in local government, even among those who we consider to be adversaries, we can make a difference. The love and kindness of God, expected of Christians, you ever think about that? We hook up a hose into a sprinkler and we water the yard. How does the water get in the yard? It goes through the hose. Did you ever think about how love gets into the world? It flows along the tracks of relationships. It flows along the tracks of relationships. Christ did not come to earth to overthrow governments, to open hospitals or orphanages and schools. He became flesh and blood among us to show us how to live God's message. He preached not only with his words, but with his life as well. He showed us how to establish and maintain healthy person-to-person relationships. He showed us how to establish networks of relationships so that the love of God, along with the will to obey him, would flow out to all mankind. Establish relationships so his will and his love will flow to all mankind. Think of all this, kind of like a mechanistic way to think about it, but think about all of us having pipes. We got to keep the love and the will flowing. That's up to us. I know many people have preached sermons saying that the spread of the gospel is man to man. And that's true, woman to woman. Not via huge worldly programs, but person to person, by Christians, each working within their sphere of influence. That's how the gospel is spread. That's how the love of Christ is spread. We've witnessed it in our own congregation. And I'm going to say some things about our own congregation, and I don't mean to single anybody out or leave anybody out, but I want to say them. We've witnessed how love flows in our own congregation, the kindness and love that spread when Rusty and Wilma send cards that we've all signed. The good that's done when Mary and Rhonda say, I took food to so-and-so last week. Very quietly, but they did it. We've seen the generosity of Jeff and Sue. And I got to mention Ray, and I'm going to fold him in just a little bit. Ray is generous. Ray is a hard worker. I want to talk about Eddie and I working together. And what I have to say about Eddie, you could say just as easily about Ray. Ray was like that. It was a joy to work alongside Ray. And when Eddie and I work alongside each other, we have different strengths. But think about it. Eddie moves about binding members together with love. He takes the time to care for their needs. He goes the extra mile. He brings them special gifts. He listens to their cares. He offers advice. He provides a kind of love that is rare in elderships around the world. We've been in congregations that had elderships that were right on the money, doctrinally. But you also seen elderships that did not have the love and care that you see coming from Christians like Eddie and like Ray. We're so grateful for what they've done, what they do. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:22 to 23, he says, I become as the one I'm talking to. Whatever I'm talking to, I become like that so I can reach them. Eddie's like that. Ray's like that. As shepherds of the church of God that Christ purchased with his own blood. If this care for godly relationships can help a congregation grow, can it not also impact the world when our light and salt is spread around person to person? Can it not? I want you to consider this. I remember talking to a person one time at work, and she was teaching some classes that were really changed the way you thought about things. And I asked her what she learned from one of her mentors, and she said, I learned that someone is always watching you, always. Someone is always watching you. There is nothing that you can say or do that will not influence another person. Someone is always watching you. There is nothing that you can say or do that will not influence another person. Nothing. So isn't that a great responsibility and a great opportunity for Christians? We can change the world if we will. I have to say this, and I may have to duck behind the pulpit, but if there's anybody among our number that is not exercising godly judgment and restraint on social media, please rethink that. I've seen way too many divisive, worldly posting by who can bridle their tongues, but they can't bridle their keyboards. People are watching when people post. You can make a huge, you can make a bigger problem in 5 seconds than you can solve in a year by what you say and post on social media. Such argumentative behavior is sinful and it shows no constraint. So please, as Christians, let the yay that you type and the nay that you type be all that you say sometimes. It is better off if you do that. But be courageous in shining your light. Be courageous in salting relationships in a godly manner. Don't shy away from an opportunity to act within your sphere of influence. I was reading a story the other day, and I think the author said the only thing this person was afraid of was confrontation with another person. Sometimes talking to another person or getting into deep conversation with another person scares us half to death. Don't shy away from an opportunity to influence somebody. Be courageous. It's not always easy. You will not always be welcomed. You may not be able to read how you're received. It kind of put me in mind, I was telling Connie, of something that happened to me. Man and his wife one time. His name was Andy. No relationship here, was Andy. Andy had an extremely difficult time with his father, who was a recovering alcoholic. Extremely difficult, unbelievably difficult. And Andy said, I know my dad loves me. And he said, sometimes this is all he can say. Now, that would turn you off, wouldn't it? When someone treated you that way. Well, if that's the way you want to be, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Andy said, this is all my dad can say sometimes. And I love him, and he loves me. We'll get through it. I'm going to build that relationship. And as I was thinking about that, his wife said to me, Donna, her name was, is, she said to me, John, be gentle with yourself. Because she knew I could get wound up pretty quick. She said, be gentle yourself. So my advice to all of you is be gentle with yourself. You can't be gentle with other people unless you're gentle with yourself as well. Society has ceased to value relationships. They view relationships as snapshots, not as changing or evolving stories. They view relationships as a snapshot, not like a video. Relationships are all about themselves, not about anybody else. These attitudes bring divided families, divided churches, divided governments. The flow of God's love and the light of Christ cannot move around in these kinds of environments, in these relationships. The love of God and Christ just has no place to go in this kind of behavior. Jesus came to earth to restore our relationship with his Father. He came to show us how to build and maintain godly relationships with one another. We are ambassadors for Christ. Paul tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. The time is now for each of us to build and nurture healthy, godly relationships with family, with co-workers, in school, and congregations. In terms of the story of the Israelites and Nehemiah, let's work hard within the walls and watch what God brings about outside the walls. We can make a difference if we work within our sphere of influence. There was a time before Connie and I were married that her dad watched from outside the church. His name was Oscar, but he liked to be called Bill instead. Bill saw to it that Dorothy and Connie got to services. He helped fix up the building. He plowed the snow. He did everything except come through the door. And when we stopped worshiping in that older building that was torn down and we started to worship here, he said, "Well, I guess someone's going to try out that baptistry." So that was the way he said it. And so he was baptized into Christ. And from that moment on, he gave it all he had to give in service to the Lord. He let us shine, he let his light shine, and he salted away in the parking lot and in his spiritual relationships. My point is this, that there are too many Christians who have come in from the world in baptism and sit. They don't shine their light, they don't sprinkle their salt, and all the while they worry about all the stuff going on around them in the world. But they don't get busy once they come in to the fold. Don't be one of these kinds of Christians. Make a difference in the world. You can do it. I can do it. I'm preaching to myself as well. You understand that, don't you? We can do it. That's our lesson for today, and I thank you kindly for your attention. We're going to sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement that Jeff is going to lead us in which Jeff is going to lead us. If you've not been baptized into Christ, this is a good opportunity for you to let us know by coming forward, raising your hand, however you want to do it. If you'd like to be baptized, to wash away your sins, be immersed in the waters of baptism, rise up to walk in newness of life, we can help you with that this morning. If you've fallen away and need to come home, all you need to do is pray to God, repent of your sins and pray to God. Well, we can help you do that. We're happy to do that. So please let us know how we can help you to either become a Christian or to return home. Thank you very much.